is up, bros? I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we're a couple of bros on a mission to give you guys the most detailed movie reviews out there with as little bias as possible. Welcome to the All Bros. This week on the podcast, we got a couple movies to talk about with weekly watches. And then after that, we will jump right into our headliner of the evening, which will be our breakdown of The Iron Claw.
Hell yes.
So, Caleb, what do you say we get started?
I say, let's do it.
Need motivation? Angry Dad Podcast. Trying to jumpstart your life? Angry Dad Podcast. You want help getting off the couch? Angry Dad Podcast. You need a verbal kick in the ass? Angry Dad Podcast. You want to hear from somebody who's been through it all? Angry Dad Podcast. I am here for you. You can find me on all podcast platforms.
All right, so, excuse me, getting right into it with weekly watches. So this week, I watched, two movies that I've already seen before, but I wanted to revisit. So the first one up is Child's Play, the, 2019 remake. And, I'm just going to say it. This movie did Megan before Megan was Megan. And I think it did it better.
It did do it better, dude. It did it so well. Megan was fun in its own way, but I think this did the whole AI thing a little bit better.
Yes, and I feel it would have benefited. Like, it sucks that it had to be called Child's Play. You know, makes sense with, you know, doing Chucky, everything like that. But I feel if it didn't have to be Child's Play, if they could have just done it to where with another different killer doll, I feel that a lot of people would have been more attracted to it. It wouldn't have gotten as much hate as it has gotten, because I feel when people actually finally check it out, they're just like, you know what, that actually wasn't bad. That's one of the better horror remakes that I've seen.
Dude, throw in the Megan system with this story, I like, this would have been a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
like, merge the two, get rid of Chucky, and just like make this the story for Megan. Like, that's a freaking winning movie right there.
Yeah, I agree. No, because like the cast still holds up. I think that the only thing that I just have wrong sometimes is there are parts with the Chucky animatronic that I'm just like, I can tell that your budget was very low. But you know, I can totally look past that, because this is probably my favorite horror remake that I've ever seen, because it doesn't freaking go shot for shot like all the others. It actually tries to do something new, but still keep the same basic story and characters.
Yeah. And dude, freaking Mark Hamill is the voice of Chucky. I mean, could you get any better?
Dude, right? Seriously, like, for real. So with rating wise, I don't feel like, don't, this is great. I don't think you really need, I don't think it requires a theater to see it. So I would say I'd give it a stream it. Would you agree with that, or would you give it higher?
I would give it a stream it.
Yeah. Okay. Me and Caleb both enjoyed this movie the first time we watched it. We both saw it in theaters. And so, like, you know, if you saw it in theaters, great, that's awesome. But I feel it's one that it's fine if you experience it at home, but at least experience this, because this is one of the best horror remakes and it deserves love.
Yeah. I'll definitely agree with you on that one.
And then next up, just because I haven't seen this in years, which really shocked me, rewatched Dumb and Dumber. Love this movie. One of the best comedies ever made, in my opinion. And I still laugh my ass off to this day.
That's the sign of, like, Dumb and Dumber is one I feel is a timeless classic.
It is. It is a perfect one-off comedy, and it didn't need a prequel, and it didn't need a sequel.
Dude, I love hearing Jeff Daniels like recount his time on Dumb and Dumber, or at least like his story about getting cast.
Yes, I especially love what he does between every take. Like, Jim Carrey is just like, he easily flows into it. But have you seen what Jeff Daniels would do, like, to get into the character of Harry?
Mm-mm.
He'd literally like shake his head and just make like a stupid face. And he's like, okay, I'm Harry Dunn. That's fantastic. How it's gotten to the role. Right.
I love that he, like, so many people try to talk him out of doing this movie, and he's like, no, like, I need to show that I can do other stuff.
And he can.
And I, like, thought for years that all he did was comedies.
That, 'cause he's so good at it.
He is so good, dude. It feels so effortless.
Yeah.
And yeah, so when I found out that he's, like, anytime I see him in serious stuff, I'm like, that's kind of weird.
Dude, same here, because yeah, this movie was my first introduction to him.
Oh man, great introduction, though.
Right? So just because I feel like I would love to experience this with an audience, just to be able to laugh your ass off and just experience what a great comedy this is. So I would give this a $5 Tuesday.
That's fair.
Okay.
This is one that you would absolutely have to have the right audience surrounding you.
100%.
So I think anyone willing to see this movie, like if they were to do one of those throwback cinemas or whatever, I think that this would be a perfect one to get, like, a really good group of people together.
Yes, 100% agree. But yeah, so that's all I got for weekly watch. So
yeah, that was unfortunately easy. Yeah, I haven't been watching a lot of movies lately.
I've stuck with series two. I get it.
I know. I've freaking had so much going on that all I have time for are, like, little shows. I've even attempted to start a movie during my lunch, and I was like, I can't do it. I'm like, I have to watch a show during lunch because I like to be able to finish something. Like, I won't even start new episodes. Like, if my lunch is an hour. If I watch something that's only like 45 minutes, I won't start something new. Like,
okay.
Yeah. Like, okay. What I'll do is I'll watch like an episode, like the 45 minutes. And for the remaining 15, I'll watch YouTube or whatever. Like, 'cause those videos, I'm just like, hey, whatever. Like, I don't need to continue.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I've been watching a bunch of other shows. I started watching Twisted Metal.
Anthony Mackie. Yeah. How's that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's actually really good. It is so funny. Like, it is a hell of a time. And I didn't know this. Thomas Hayden Church is in it.
No shit.
Yeah. Oh. And I was like, dude, like, this is a freaking crazy story. Like, how, like, what's the deal with, like, I was trying to think of, like, what the deal was with the game. So I did some research on the game. The game is as simple as you can freaking get. It is driving around with cars and guns and shooting each other. Like, that's all the game is. So they were able to create a story from scratch. And
that's impressive.
It's a killer story. And then they were able to create, I want to say he's an original character with this character, Sweet Tooth, someone is playing his, like, the form, but Will Arnett does the voice.
Oh, and interesting.
His voice is Joker level, like, freaking.
Oh, it's shit.
So good. It is so good. Like, he has, like, a maniacal laugh and everything. Like, it is borderline Joker, and I love it.
Damn.
And yeah, it's freaking awesome. And the mask, bro. You look up the Sweet Tooth, or like the Twisted Metal Sweet Tooth mask. Like, it is nuts.
Bro. Damn, yeah. That's terrifying.
Yeah, and what I love about the show is, like, they don't take his mask off. So he's in the mask, like, at least so far. Like, I'm only 5 or 6 episodes in. He hasn't taken the mask off yet. I'm hoping he doesn't. But yeah, so he hasn't taken the mask off. And the way that they shoot the scenes
his, like, you rarely ever see his eyes.
Okay, I like
it. So it is just like, it's just darkness. So like, it's so good. And it's the funniest shit too. Cause like Anthony Mackie is hilarious in this. Stephanie Beatrice is freaking fantastic in this too. And it throws me off every time I hear her talk in a normal voice. In her normal voice. Cause it is so like peppy and cheery. So when she's talking, I'm just like, what the shit?
The hell are you?
Yeah. Cause I'm so used to seeing her from like Brooklyn Nine-Nine where she's so monotone.
Yeah.
But it's a great time. It is a great time of a show. Like, it's on Peacock, so freaking right? fun. Yeah. It's on Peacock okay. right now. Highly recommend.
Okay.
It is just kind of like brainless action, which is perfect for lunchtime.
Yeah. There you go. Hell yeah.
Yeah. And the episodes are fairly short. I think they're around 45 minutes.
Okay. That's not bad.
Yeah. Like a little bit longer form, but still really good. Like, yeah. So yeah.
Add other than the list.
Yeah. Other than that, I haven't been watching very much. Like, I've been watching the newest season of The Bad Batch. I watched the Netflix One Piece, which I really liked. The live action one, for those of you wondering, not the anime. The anime, they have a specific cut. Like, someone went through and cut a lot of the fluff out of the show because there's like over 1,000 episodes of it. And damn. so someone went in and said, all right, here's a main storyline, and they cut it down as much as they could, like, again, cutting out the fluff. And they're like, all right, here you go. And so it's like this storyline you could watch, and it's like an hour and a half. They have some storylines that are longer than that, so it's like closer to like 4 hours, but they have it cut up into little like important pieces. So I'm like, I could do that. And I, with how much I enjoyed the show, I am willing to give those cuts a shot. But yeah, other than that, I haven't been watching a whole hell of a lot.
I mean, minus those two movies, all I've been trying to do is get through the rest of The Office on my second rewatch. So that's what I'm doing. I'm at the end of season 7, and I'm not ready to say goodbye to Michael Scott again. So that's going to be hard.
Oh man.
Because as we all know, it kind of went a little downhill after that.
Well, you would know. I haven't watched The Office all the way through.
Oh, shit. My bad. I didn't mean to spoil it.
I've never, like, I've watched bits and pieces of The Office, and I find it funny. I did try to start it from the first season. I made it halfway through, and I was like, I can't.
Yeah, you have to push through season 1, dude. I know. Season 1 is a hard watch, but I promise you it gets better season 2 and beyond. I promise you. Like, honestly, every rewatch, I'm going to be honest. I mean, this is only my second rewatch, but I completely skipped the first season.
Do you really?
Yeah, because I mean, I remember what happens, but it's just so hard to watch it. Like, on your first watch, you kind of have to like really get to know the characters. But like Michael Scott, Steve Carell's character, they do a complete 180 when it comes to him from season 2 and beyond. He's completely different than what he is in season 1.
Because I haven't even done a first watch of this show. So it's like I've seen the bits and pieces that make me laugh. And then I'm like, okay, well, this one was from season 1. And so there's like funny bits. It's just that's all they really are. Just yeah. Those bits. And I'm like, I can't.
No, dude, I get it.
Like, so it's just kind of like put a sour taste in my mouth with those shows.
I get that, dude. If you can like stomach season 1, which I forget how many episodes season 1 is. Like, it's worth it for season 2 and beyond. I promise you. I promise you, man.
Well, I'll trust you once, okay. Like, once I get around to actually like needing a new show to watch, like, I'll I'll give it a chance.
Okay.
But yeah.
All right. Well, then what do you say we just jump into our headliner?
I say, let's do it.
All right. All right. Well, before we jump into this week's headliner, Caleb, do you want to let people know how we break down episode? Wow.
Breakdown episodes.
Breakdown movies on this podcast.
I would love to. If you are new to our breakdown system, we have split movies into 8 different categories that we individually score to come to a final All Bros letter grade. The 8 categories that we score are story, writing, acting, character development, effects, music, costumes, and then we give it our own personal score at the very end. All of those numbers get magically added up and spit through our algorithm and give us a letter grade to compare this movie's of a similar grade, as well as a percentage that ranks these movies. That's not quite as important, but it's still pretty fun to see where these will rank. So if you have not seen The Iron Claw, we are going to spoil the entire movie for you, or Roses specifically, in our favorite segment that we like to call Reading with Rose.
So just know I'm the asshole in this scenario. Caleb is not.
Yeah. So we're going to spoil this movie for you. So this is one. This one's interesting. Can history really be spoiled?
That's fair. I mean, I didn't know anything about the Von Erichs, so
I didn't either. I was actually curious about that because you grew up with like WWF, WWE, right?
Yeah, but I don't think my dad ever introduced me to the Von Erichs, or at least from what I remember.
Okay. I mean, they seemed like they were maybe like in the 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like, I figured your dad would introduce you to like the 90s, 2000s wrestlers, right?
Yeah. I mean, you think that I remember, would try to remember, because, you know, those are like some of the only good memories I have with my dad. But sorry, was that too much?
No, it's your dirty laundry. Hang it out if you want.
Yeah, true. Oh, shit. But no, just like the only ones that I remember are like the classics, you know, Stone Cold, Kane, The Undertaker, Rock, Brock Lesnar, Chris Benoit.
How long has Brock Lesnar been a wrestler? I thought he was a freaking UFC fighter.
Maybe he is. I don't know. That might have just gotten. He's been doing it for a while. Yeah, no, I recognize him.
Has he really?
Yeah. When did he enter?
I'm going to look that up too.
When did Brock Lesnar debut in WWE? There we go. The first one. 2002. So
2002. When did he. Has he always been? Okay. So UFC, his career is 2008 to 2011.
Okay.
And so how long did he do WWE? Oh, so he did it. Oh, that was his return. WWE was from 2000 to 2004, or that was WWF. Okay. And then he took a break and then he came back to WWE 2012 to 2020. And so he did UFC in 2008 to 2011 and then came back to WWE. Okay. That's confusing.
A little bit.
Cause I was like, I've had that instance where people know him as like the WWE wrestler. And I'm like, no, Brock Lesnar, the UFC fighter. And they're like, oh, like, I guess for like something's getting miscommunicated. So like, we have missed thought that one was the other or whatever, but That's cool.
Yeah.
Complicated career.
A little bit.
Oh, but anyway. So, yeah. Yeah, we'll be posting the spoiler warning now. So if you decide to listen beyond this point and anything spoiled for you, sorry, not sorry.
Exactly.
So with that, Rose, you want to take this away?
Would love to.
Can we, excuse me.
Okay, I think I'm good.
Okay, exercises today.
Wait, what?
You forgot to do your vocal exercises today.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm just I just want to make sure that I'm not gonna have a cough attack during it. Okay. All right. In 1979, the world-class championship wrestling company, WCCW, is owned by retired professional wrestler Fritz Von Erich, who once dreamed of winning the NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. Fritz has five sons with his wife Doris, from oldest to youngest, Jack Jr., who died as a child, Kevin and David, who both wrestle in WCCW, Carrie, an aspiring discus thrower, and Mike, an aspiring musician. Kevin, the current Texas heavyweight champion, starts a relationship with a woman named Pam, and tells her about the Von Erich curse that killed Jack Jr. as a child, supposedly brought on by Fritz changing his last name from Adkisson to his mother's, whose family had suffered constant tragedy. Kevin wins a non-title match against NWA. You know what? This was a pro. Whenever they said NWA, all I could think of was Straight Outta Compton.
Fair enough.
All right, Kevin wins a non-title match against NWA World Heavyweight Champion Harley Race by disqualification, putting himself in the lead to challenge for the title. However, Fritz is disappointed that Kevin took a long time to get up after a vertical suplex directly on concrete, but is delighted by David displaying a natural talent for showmanship while cutting a promo. The 1980 Summer Olympics boycott dashes Carrie's hopes of competition, and he moves back home where Fritz presses him to also become a wrestler. By 1983, Kevin, Carrie, and David defeat the Fabulous Freebirds to win the six-man tag team championship, and Fritz volunteers David over Kevin to fight during NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair. Kevin and Pam get married, and he reveals at the wedding to an ill David that he will soon be a father. A week before his match against Flair, David dies of enteritis while touring in Japan. Both Kevin and Carrie volunteer to fight Flair in his place, but Fritz lets a coin flip decide, resulting in Carrie being the one to face Flair, beating him and winning the World Heavyweight Championship. Although Fritz is overjoyed, a despondent Carrie goes out for a motorcycle ride and loses his right foot in an accident. Fearing the curse, Kevin has his newborn son Ross, legally surnamed Adkisson. Kevin begins training Mike, who badly injures his shoulder during a match and goes into a toxic shock-induced coma during surgery. Mike narrowly emerges from his coma with noticeable brain damage, but when Fritz presses him to get back in the ring, he takes his own life, and a grief-stricken Kevin starts to distance himself from Pam and Ross, fearing the curse will affect them too. He nonetheless fights Flair for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship, but is disqualified when he ignores the referee and grapples Flair with the signature Von Erich Iron Claw move for too long. Carrie returns to wrestling with a new prosthetic foot and works for the World Wrestling Federation, now dwarfing WCCW in popularity, where he wins the Intercontinental Championship at SummerSlam, while Fritz gives Kevin the task of running the WCCW as he focuses on life with Pam, Ross, and newest son Marshall. Carrie gives Fritz a new gun for Christmas, but becomes upset when he puts it away instead of firing it, later calling Kevin and telling him that the curse's constant presence in his declining career have made him consider suicide. He hangs up before Kevin can learn his location. After calling Fritz for help, but receiving none, Kevin arrives at Fritz's house the next morning just in time to hear Carrie commit suicide. Kevin arrives at Fritz's house the next morning just in time to hear Carrie commit suicide with a gun and nearly strangles Fritz to death in a fit of rage. Sitting with his brother's body, Kevin has a vision of his brothers in the afterlife. Carrie leaves behind the coin that decided he would face Flair and reunites with Mike, now free to pursue his musical dreams. David wearing the world title belt he had been chasing in life, and Jack Jr., whom he meets for the first time since being a toddler. Sometime later, Kevin sells WCCW to Jerry Jarrett, despite his father's protests. Doris gives up her housewife duties for her hobby of painting and divorcing Fritz, and Pam becomes pregnant again. Kevin weeps while watching his sons play football, telling them he misses having brothers. They promise to be brothers to him, and he gets up and plays with them. A textual epilogue reveals that the Von Erichs were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2009, and that Kevin and Pam are still married and have bought a ranch in Hawaii where their large family lives to this day, including their 4 children and 13 grandchildren.
Dude, this isn't going to come up in the episode at all, but the picture of him and his family, someone sent one of his grandchildren flying. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, I did. Like, damn. Like,
dude, that was all I could, like, think about when that picture came up. I was like, holy shit. Like, when I realized how high that kid was.
Yeah.
Anyway, for those of you that haven't seen it, yeah, there's, a picture of Kevin's family, and they're all like typically like you see that, like they're all kind of like grouped together on the bottom of this picture, and then up in like the top right hand corner is one of his, I'm assuming his grandchildren, that is just up in the sky. Like, yeah. this dude was freaking yeeted.
Oh shit.
And I think what threw me off is all of the people on the bottom look normal. Like, yeah. no one looks like they had just tossed them up or anything. They're just like all standing there smiling. I'm like, holy shit.
All right, who's catching this kid?
Yeah. Like, that seems like something you don't take your eyes off of.
Yeah, right.
Oh, but yeah, I was like, holy shit, dude. Like,
just imagine you throw the kid up, you put your hands back by your side, they take the picture, you're like, shit, I blinked. Oh, shit.
I was like, dude, there's a story after this picture, and I want it.
Please tell me that's in the bonus features.
That would be hilarious. But yeah, like I said, it won't come up anywhere else. I just found that's so funny.
No, that was hilarious.
But yeah, dude, getting straight into it with the story. There were some things that you brought up in the synopsis that I didn't catch.
Same here.
Like, I didn't catch that that it was like a fantasy or like an imagination thing that he was imagining his brother, like Carrie, going to be with his other brothers.
Yeah. I thought that was, I thought that was just us seeing it from Carrie's perspective.
I did too. And so, yeah, that wasn't very clear.
But I mean, it's a beautiful scene. Like, that's what got me crying.
Dude, it freaking had me welling up, but they should have made it seem like it was his daydream a bit better.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with you there.
And then what's her face? Their mom divorcing Fritz, that also was not very clear.
Yeah, no, same here. Yeah, literally the last interaction you see between Doris and Fritz is her saying that she didn't make anything for dinner. He sits down, watches her paint, and that's it.
Yeah, I was like, okay, you're just going to imply divorce? And then it was funny because, like, I was watching the credits and it said A24. I didn't catch it at the beginning that it was A24, and so I was like, ah, there we go.
Yeah.
Because A24 makes some questionable editing decisions.
That's fair. But damn, do they make some quality movies.
They do. I have yet to see an A24 that I haven't liked. I'm gonna Google A24 films real quick just to make sure that sounds
you're right. Not talking out of your ass.
Yeah. Sure, I'll stand by that.
Yeah, I haven't seen an A24 film I haven't liked, but I have seen a lot that are questionable.
All right, fair. And I mean, their like, new one, Civil War, looks really good.
Yeah. Like I said, I think they just need some help with their production in terms of editing, just to like clarify some of the things that they're trying to do.
Yeah, I look at A24. They're like the... So like Blumhouse does all the horror cheap horror films. I feel A24 does everything else when it comes to genres with cheap filmmaking.
I'll give you that. I will definitely give you that. Yeah, but the story, like, I feel like the flow wasn't quite right with this one. This, like, don't get me wrong, the story was fantastic.
Yeah,
like, in the overarching story was fantastic, but I think the big issues that I had came down to the editing, and it just felt like everything was happening so freaking quick.
That's fair. This movie does move quite fast with storytelling. Like, another thing that I didn't notice, maybe you did, with Carrie, like, I feel it wasn't implied at all about the Olympics being boycotted. Or am I losing my mind? I didn't.
No, they did a little bit, because it, like, they show him running up to his coach and like a bunch of people running up to the coach. And then you see like that one dude that just kind of like throws himself to the ground. And then you see every, like, the family watching that presidential announcement, like talking about the boycotting of the Olympics.
How did I miss that? Okay.
I have no idea. So, I mean, they did touch on it a little bit. And then when he got home, they were like, okay, that sucks. And then, like, well, you need to be thinking about your future. And I'm like, professional wrestling? Like, you know, they have an Olympics in another 4 years, right?
Start training now for that, not for wrestling, but whatever.
Yeah, but I don't think they settled on that or kind of let that sit very long. They let too much stuff like skate by, like when it came to Carrie's story, maybe like even Mike's. I think Mike's could have been expanded upon a little bit too.
Yeah, like, Mike definitely got he's the brother that definitely got the least amount of attention.
Yeah. Like, even like with your synopsis, it explained it so much better that it was Fritz pushing him back in or trying to get him back into wrestling that made him like go off the deep end versus I thought it was that he couldn't play his music anymore. And that's what was like the final straw for him.
You know, honestly, I feel like, you know, I know this is based off a true story, but I feel that would have made more sense.
If that's a little bit. Like, it's like, I don't know. Like, it's, there were so many things that were just kind of left like, okay, wait, what? That you need explained to you after the fact. And that doesn't fly by me very well.
That's fair. I will say, though, each death of each brother was handled very, very well. I feel
I think David's could have been a little bit better, maybe.
That's fair. I mean, freaking, what sucks is, so like the Carrie's death unfortunately got spoiled for me, so I knew he committed suicide, but I had no idea that two of the other brothers had passed as well. So yeah, when they freaking say, oh, David passed while he was in Japan, I'm like, wait, what? Like, after the fact, it makes sense, you know, without him throwing up blood and just, you know, how sick it's implied that he is. it makes sense. But you know, it's still really sad what these brothers go through. And the fact that two of them were drawn to suicide of a way to just escape the weight and burden that their father had placed on their shoulders freaking just kills you inside.
Yeah. That was a really tough pill to swallow. It's heartbreaking. Just heartbreaking. But that in that aspect, I think the film did really well. Like the emotional hits, you feel those.
And 100%.
Yeah, like you're supposed to.
Yeah.
And I think that was a combination of how well they put the story together. I mean, like I said, there were issues. Like, I think editing issues, if you would have removed all of those, I would probably be in the mid, like, I won't say mid. I'd probably be in the low 90s with the story. But with the editing issues and just how hard it was to track certain things, I'm probably going to end up putting this around 85.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm definitely going to agree with you because there were moments throughout that I actually had to rewind a couple times just to make sure that I understood everything that was said and I could understand where the story was going from there.
Same here. I actually had to turn on subtitles pretty like a few minutes into the movie because they talk with a very thick accent.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, nowadays, dude, I can't watch a movie without subtitles.
Same here. Unless it's like one I've seen a lot and it's like really loud. Like it needs to be like deafening loud before I'll even consider turning the subtitles off.
No. Yeah, that's fair. So I think with all that, I think I'm just going to be a little higher than you at an 87.
Fair enough. All right. Moving on over to writing.
Okay. Cause the mom did it too. The way that the parents treated their children in this movie, like, oh my God, when they would try to come to them with like a problem that didn't involve wrestling, they're just like, go talk to your brothers. I don't have time for this. That's what they're here. That's what they're there for. I'm like, know, no, that's dude. What you're supposed to be here for.
Yeah. I'm like, heaven forbid you talk to your children.
Yeah. Heaven forbid you have to be an actual freaking parent.
I know, but they weren't batting 1,000 on that end whatsoever. I do understand to a certain extent, feeling like you couldn't go to one parent versus the other, like when Fritz was being really harsh on Mike and Kevin's like trying to get him to back off. Like you, that's something like, yeah, you need someone that can talk to that person that way to go and do that. Yeah. Like that's not a father son chat. That's a mother wife chat or a husband wife chat. But I mean, I don't know. Like, I think that they were able to capture the essence of brotherhood fairly well.
I agree
on some stuff. Others, I'm like, no. Like, I'm trying to think of like an instant. Oh, okay. When they were at the Mike's gig and Kevin makes that comment, like, look at my beautiful brothers. I'm like, that's a weird thing to say. Yeah. Like, I've never once thought that. Like, listen. I love my brothers to death, but in that instance, if I wanted to show like that I was like just having a moment of bliss and just enjoying being a brother, it is going to come. Maybe it's just because I'm an asshole, but it doesn't come out. Look at my beautiful brothers. I'm just going to be like, look at this loser. Like that is the most love that I feel I can show. That's the best way for me to show my love to my brothers. Just be like, look at this asshole.
I mean, I guess that just I guess that showcases like every brotherly love is different. Like, yeah, like I will admit, like, yeah, that was kind of like, that was a little too much. But like, you know, to them, that's, yeah, you know, that's how they show their love and appreciation for each other. So I can't really knock them for showcasing that way, because no, like, dude, I'd be the same way with you. Like, say like you were like, you know, like you were in your moment and I want to be like, yeah, look at this jackass. Like, so dude, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I'm being nice to you, you know something serious is going on. like it's just like, hey, I know that you're having a hard time right now, and like I'll have like that hard, like the difficult conversations and stuff with my brothers.
Yeah,
but it's just, I'm trying to think of the best way to like describe this. I would trust my brothers and you with my life. But if they ask me to like, hey, come here, I'm going to be real suspicious.
Even like me,
maybe not you, but okay. if Coy and Bronson were to be like, hey, come here. Why? They know the deal. They do the same thing to me. If I suspiciously or just like randomly was like, hey, come here. Why? Just come here. No, you're going to hit me. But if I would trust them with my life. It's like, I just wouldn't trust them with the well-being of my arm or... Like, have you seen those videos where it's just like, hey, I'm really sick. I need a kidney. Oh my gosh, let's go get tested. I'll absolutely give you my kidney. Blah 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 blah. And it's just like, hey, can I have can I have an Oreo? No, get your own.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's what being a brother's like. And so I think they were able to capture that essence really well, other than like them showing love for each other. Like, that felt weird, but that's just, that might be a me problem.
No, I'm the same way. Like, you know, I've never had, you know, a blood brother. Caleb is the closest thing I've ever had to a brother. I mean, he is my brother, but you know what I mean? So like honestly, like even like with my sister, like I don't even know if I'd be that way with her. I'd be like, I'd probably be the same. I'd be like, wow, look at this asshole too. Cause yeah, I'll call my sister that sometimes, but I mean it out of love.
Yeah, it always meant with love.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they showed the encouragement really well. Like when Fritz announced that David was going to get his shot at the title and like what he would have to do with the regiment before they got to Japan and he came home with the title. I liked that Carrie got up and was like, that's freaking awesome, man. And like giving him that encouragement. And even though it killed Kevin, like he was there when it was like Carrie's turn.
Yeah.
And so I liked all of that. Like, I felt like that was very true to form, and just the goofing off, the fighting between them was really well done. Like, I'm thinking of the scene where Carrie's trying to get back in the ring and he's training with Kevin, and Kevin like knocks his ass to the ground and he's just like, you want this? Get back up. Like, you want this? Get back up. Like, and he's just like, and just gives his arm and like defeat. And he's like, yeah, that's what I thought. Like, that, a very brotherly thing to do.
Yeah. I love, I think it's toward the beginning, but it's when Kevin, Mike, and David on the truck, and Mike's just like, oh, you know, can we go get hamburgers? Oh, well, Mom's got dinner at the house. Well, you know, Carrie would take me for hamburgers. That's how he freaking guilt trips his other two brothers. Love that shit.
That is absolutely played very well.
Yeah,
that happens a lot. I remember Bronson doing that to me a few times where I'd pick him up in the car and we'd be driving. And he's like, oh, hey, we should stop and get a drink. And I'm like, no, like we need to go home. And he's like, oh, didn't realize you were lame. I'm like, I'm not lame. There we go and get a drink.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it was that and his infamous, or just to get me to do stupid shit. Like when he'd say, no balls. And I'd be like, wow. Oh, I got balls.
Oh, shit.
That was infamous. We would do that to each other. Like, I think we went and picked up plywood for my dad at Lowe's, and I laid it out on top of the carts.
Yeah.
And so we were pushing it, and Bronson was helping me or whatever, and he was just mouthing off, and I was like, I'm like, hey, why don't you get up on top of this sheet and act like you're riding on a magic carpet? And he's like, I'm not doing that. Like, like people are going to like look and laugh at me. And I'm like, all right, no balls. And he's like, oh, I got balls. Then he'd jump on and he was like laying down on it and like in poses. Like he went all out on it. And,
why is it that's all it takes for guys to jump into a dare or some shit? Like, oh yeah, you ain't got no balls. You ain't got no... None of that shit. They're just like, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, no, I'm gonna prove that shit. Sorry, I'm gonna prove that shit to you. That's all it takes.
I know. It's just you, like you get smacked in the pride, and you're just like, argh.
Yeah. Whether you're called, they call you like a bitch or a pussy. Just that's what pushes you. Oh no, I ain't. What the hell is wrong with our species?
Jeez. I know. Our egos are so fragile.
True. True that.
But I think, like I said, I really liked the encouragement that was shown between the brothers. Like when it came to doing, like being at Mike's show and them just like cheering him on. Like I thought that was really, really fun to watch. The rest of the dialogue, it felt fairly genuine, like really genuine.
Like it did.
100%. I think the only one I didn't really buy 100% was Fritz.
That's fair. He was definitely the stereo. I mean, I'm sure this is how he was in real life. He's definitely the stereotypical, oh, pushes his son to be better than him, but does it in the wrong way.
Yeah, very much so. So I liked it, but I think they went a little too exposition heavy in his dialogue. And so fair. It kind of like pulled me out of it a little bit. I was like, okay, like I feel like there's some things that he could have explained less.
Yeah.
Because I think they were trying to give a lot of exposition with his dialogue. And so it felt very just like, okay, like I feel like your son who was raised to or been in this wrestling thing for what I'm assuming is a significant amount of time would know this.
Yeah.
It's just, I think maybe you introduce Pam a little earlier. I mean, obviously you kind of need to follow the story or the real story a little bit. But I think you could have just included Pam a little bit more, made her the exposition person, like that gets all that. Like, so I forget what I know. There's a term for that, like the person that we follow that we know as much about the story as this person.
Oh yeah, I forget what that is too.
But I think that should have been that kind of talk should have been aimed more towards Pam, since she didn't quite know about the wrestling world.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, I mean, the dialogue felt very natural, like really good. I'm not too much higher. than my story score, though. So I might be like 86.
Okay.
Like, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I think I'm going to be the same as you, just 1 point higher, so I'll be an 88.
All right, moving on over to acting. Starting off, we have Zac Efron, who plays Kevin Von Erich. Jeremy Allen White, who played Carrie. Harrison Dickinson, who played David. Holt McCallany?
I think so.
Holt McCallany, who played Fritz Von Erich. Stanley Simons, who plays Mike Von Erich. Mara Tierney, who played Doris Von Erich, their mother. Lily James, who played Pam. Oh, and that's it.
That's it. Yeah.
So, yeah. This isn't a very difficult top three for me.
Wait, it is or isn't?
Isn't.
Okay.
So I think number one, giving it to Zac Efron. He
100%
killed this role.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit.
If people still think that he can't act, watch this movie and you will be on the Zac Efron train.
Oh yeah. Like, I think he's a better dramatic actor than he is comedic.
I can agree with that.
Like, his performance, I mean, he did okay in Ricky Stenicki, but he dominated it with this film. Yeah. And I hope that this movie qualifies for an Oscar, because I think it was borderline Oscar worthy. My number two, on the other hand, gosh, this one's a little tougher. I think I might give this to Jeremy Allen White. I really liked the character of Carrie. It's understandable how he ended up where he was at. I think, like, there was a lot of shit that was just kind of going on in his life that would have been really difficult to deal with, because not only is he dealing with the loss of his brother, he has to live with taking the title from him and just like dealing with that. So it, and then when he loses his leg and just is trying to come back up into the world, seeing his struggle with the prosthetic foot was good. It was really good. I haven't seen him in pretty much anything that I haven't enjoyed his performance significantly. Like, do you ever watch The Bear on Hulu?
No, unfortunately not. I've seen him in Shameless, though. He's phenomenal in that show. But I wanted to watch The Bear.
Yeah, I would recommend that show very highly, because his performance is killer. It also gives you a decent chance to look at the guy who's going to be playing Ben Grimm.
Oh, okay, cool.
He'll be in that show too.
Nice. Okay.
But yeah, he freaking kills it in that show. Jamie Lee Curtis is in it a little bit too.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay.
So if that sells it a bit more.
Oh, 100%. OG Scream Queen, of course.
Yeah, but I enjoyed his performance a lot. My number three, and this is where it's hard, because I feel it could be a coin flip between Jeremy Allen White and Lily James. I don't know if she was the popular choice on here, but I loved how she was. How she handled the like, first off, like, just how she met with Kevin, like the introduction and everything, and he basically like spelling it out for him, and I'm like,
dude, that was it was so awkward to watch, but I loved it.
It was, but in like a super nice way.
Yeah.
And there were just so many scenes. Like, I freaking love her. She's so, such a good actress. And, but yeah, I think she sold that, just the tough Southern woman really well. And I appreciated that performance, especially as things got more difficult in their life, like how she went and handled Doris when Doris was just having a breakdown about her dress. And she's just like, yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
And just all that good stuff. Like, I liked it a lot. And I liked how the portrayal of how she reacted to Mike's death. Because I think she had a freaking sweet spot for Mike.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so she sold it so freaking well. Like, I loved her in this. Yeah. So what's your top three look like?
It's the exact same, dude.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Anything you want to add or?
No, dude, you freaking nailed it with all three. Like, I got nothing else to say. Like, the entire cast is great. Honestly, everyone plays their part well, but these are definitely the three standouts.
Yeah. I would give an honorable mention to Holt McCallany, though. I just because of the scene where he was talking about how all of his sons are going to hold the championship title.
Okay, and yeah, all, okay. Like,
that whole bit of dialogue was great.
That, yeah, that's fair. I will give an honorable mention as well. Just for the scene when they're in the after Kevin wins from disqualification from forget his name. But literally the monologue that David says about him and his brothers, and just, you know, wanting a rematch, just freaking so powerful. And I freaking loved it. And Harris just delivered it so perfectly. So definitely got to give Harris Dickinson some props for his acting in this one.
Oh yeah, dude, it, I didn't really grow up like on wrestling because my dad was very much of the mindset like, oh, it's fake.
And that makes it fun.
What I've struggled with movies and shows like this is when they cheer about winning. It's just like you knew going in that you were going to win, though.
Because like, then, like, it will cut. Like, the next scene will be them in the locker room being like, dude, you sold that so well. That was amazing. I really believed you.
Yeah, I know. I was just like, like, I understand, like, putting on the performance and everything, but it's just like, you knew that was going to happen. Like, you knew what, like, the outcome and, like, what the hell? So I think that's where I'm like, I don't know about the whole wrestling thing. Like, I think it was just, maybe it's just my dad coming out in me, but it's just like, I don't get it. You knew going in you were going to win, and still you seem super like pumped up about it.
Yeah.
It almost feels like the congratulations should come before the match.
You're not wrong.
it feels so weird. Like, I had the same issue with, the show The Rock did about himself, like a young Rock.
Oh yeah,
like that felt very odd. Like, anytime that they would like discuss, and every wrestling movie I feel has to deal with this whole like, oh, it's fake thing, because The Rock dealt with it in his show. I remember them talking about it being fake in Fighting with Family.
Okay.
And then they dealt with this in this. And I'm like, I feel like everyone has to deal with the, oh, this is fake shit. But yeah, I did really like his performance. Like it, he really sold it. So what are you sitting with acting?
Just because I feel everyone is so strong. Acting. I think I'm going to be at a 93.
I don't know if I've quite cracked the 90s, but I am still fairly high. Like I think I'm sitting around like 89.
All right.
All right. Next up, we got character development. Oh, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to turn off the reading with Rose sign.
Oh. Oops. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. This one's hard because, I mean, it is based off of real life.
Yeah.
Like, what did you think overall?
I think story overall is really not story. I'm sorry. The character.
Yeah, we already covered that, Rose. We know you think of the story.
I'm sorry. Okay. No, I think the character development is actually like super strong. Yeah, you got a point. Like, you know, you're basing this off real life. So, like, it's kind of hard to be critical because you're just like, how do you be critical on a true story? But, like, I feel the, because I'm assuming we're doing this on Kevin.
Yeah. He's kind of the definite focus of this film.
Okay. Seeing his arc throughout is like he has so many highs and lows, and it's both very encouraging but also very heartbreaking, because you see him, you know, move up the ranks in wrestling, but then you also have to see him go through so much loss with his brothers. Like seeing, like I can't imagine losing not only one brother to a disease or just health in general, but two to suicide. That is just freaking, that's just a gut punch. And I feel that it's handled very, very well, and I would hope that that this is exactly how it happened. Just seeing his journey throughout, it's encouraging, it's heartbreaking, and when you get to the ending with him not having any of his brothers left, and that scene with his kids, his sons, man, we'll be your brother's dad. It's such a heartfelt scene, and just I think it's a very good character arc. Honestly, it's throughout you get very good character development for Kevin.
Yeah, it's a great arc. And it was heartbreaking watching everything Mike went through. Like, cause it's like, I think Mike's was especially heartbreaking because you get, you know, that wrestling isn't his passion at all. Like it was music, but it's like, he didn't really have a say in the matter. And it was rough. I don't think like any of them really had a say other than Carrie, but his was taken away from him. And so his father immediately threw him into what, like the family business. And I think what sucked too is like, and watching Kevin kind of see that, like the discussion between his father and Carrie, was when he was saying, I wouldn't wish wrestling on anyone or on any of my boys. And I'm like, but you push them all into it, dude.
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
you got screwed out, or you felt like you got screwed out of an opportunity, and now you're making it everyone's problem.
Yeah.
So that was sad what it comes down to. It was super sad.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, the breakdown that he has in front of his kids, or Kevin does, that scene wrecked me. Like it was so, like, because you know, like I think what was a bummer is you knew what everyone's dream was.
Yeah.
Like, David, I think, was the only one that wanted to be a professional wrestler. Like,
yeah.
When all was said and done, it was like David wanted the title. Kevin wanted just to live somewhere with his brothers, like live on a big old open ranch with his brothers. Carrie wanted to be an Olympian, and Mike wanted to be a musician, and no. None of them got that.
Nope.
Like,
yeah. It's so sad.
I know. Like, it was heartbreaking to watch. And you know, like, I think what this movie did really well is show what, like, you understand where he's coming from with some of the shitty decisions that he's making, like not sleeping at home.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to bring the curse on to his wife and kid. So yeah, completely understandable.
Yeah, like, so funny enough, Brielle came in around that scene, like when Pam was calling Kevin out on that and being like, we need you home. And like, he's talking about like spreading the curse and whatever. And Brielle was like, well, that's freaking dumb. Like, curses aren't real and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you haven't seen the rest of this movie yet. Like, I would absolutely be on this bandwagon. Like, cause he started off like not really buying it. And then it's like the horrible thing after horrible thing happened. And it's like, like, yeah, maybe a curse is happening.
Yeah.
Like, freaking is rough, dude.
Yeah.
Super freaking rough.
No, 100%.
So I am, yeah, very much of the mindset that you understand where he's coming from, even with the bad decisions.
Yes.
And I think that's very important.
Yeah, definitely.
But I like that you get to see his life go an alternate direction when he actually starts like not giving a flying shit what his dad thinks.
Yeah.
And goes and sells the business to be able to afford a house and everything. Like, I think watching as a parent, I would, if I handed something to my child, like a business, and they were just drowning in it, like, yeah, freaking sell it, bro. Like, I don't want that for you. But him or Fritz, he was just like, well, you better not freaking sell this or you're not welcome in my house anymore. And I'm like, damn, dude.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, that is some horse shit. And God, I wish we would have gotten like a little bit of payoff for that scene where he's just like, yeah, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So yeah, the arc here was was rocking, even though I do feel like it was a bit of one of those negative arcs, at least until it got to the end and then it started rising up a bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I there are some instances where I feel like we didn't leave on the highest note. Just because they did like the epilogue of this and then they showed off what he had accomplished.
Yeah.
And all that good stuff. And I like that we got to see that. I don't necessarily think that that's something we needed to see within the context of the movie.
That's fair. Okay, I can agree with that.
Because we've had some other issues where it's like, oh, well, it ended and his arc wasn't quite complete. I feel like this is an instance where his arc wasn't complete, but in terms of, or with how the film was structured, it made sense. And so yeah. Them just being like, oh, and he lived happily ever after. Like, totally fine with that.
Yeah.
So where are you sitting with the character development?
I think I'm going to be at a solid 90 character development.
I am actually a little higher than you on this one, surprisingly. It's 92.
Hell yeah.
All right, next up we got effects, which this is stunt work and cinematography.
I thought this was great.
The stunt work here was rocking.
Yeah, like all of the wrestling scenes were fantastic.
Yeah, like I didn't see a single scene that like made me think twice about like oh, that looked fake. Well, it's rough too, because it's like I also know it's wrestling.
Yeah, that's
so it's fair. Like I could tell, like, oh yeah, that punch didn't land, but it's like also didn't need to.
Yeah.
I wonder how difficult it is to film like wrestling stunt work. Because it's like, do you want, like, how real do you want to make it look?
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, because obviously you could make it look super real, or do you want to make it look fake real?
Yeah.
Like, oh gosh, I would love to talk with a choreographer about something like that. I think that'd be so interesting.
No, that would be. I feel one of my favorite shots in this movie is when Kevin is he's in the ring, and I think it's a black and white shot. I might be wrong, but he literally just keeps running back and forth between the ropes and just bouncing off. And he does it multiple times. It's just such a great scene to me. And I feel like it gets more powerful each time, like to the point I'm just like, how the hell is he not broken these yet? Like he's putting all his freaking strength and weight into that shit.
I hope that was like Zac Efron doing that.
I hope so too.
Cause you're right. The more hits that was landing, and just the more that he was throwing himself against those, the ring was crazy. And like, have you ever like felt those, like the ropes?
No, huh?
Those are not like springy ropes. No. Like, no, they freaking hurt. Like, it feels like you're hitting a brick wall.
Oof.
Like a stringed up like brick wall, like, because those don't move easily.
Shit.
So yeah, like I think like that's, it was just conditioning stuff, because it was like that, and then he was throwing himself on the ground or on the mats.
Yeah.
And but yeah, super powerful scene, and just some crazy stunt work too, like throughout, like just the, I don't know the terms. The one downfall of not being raised, like knowing wrestling, but like throwing himself from the corner and like,
dude, I don't even remember these.
You don't remember them?
Okay. No.
All right. I don't feel bad. As bad then. But whatever. A lot of those stuff like felt like they were landing hard.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big draw to wrestling. It's just selling that work, or that I guess stunt work.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's true.
So yeah, this is another like really high category for me. I might dock a little bit because of the maybe some of the cinematography choices. I will say it's like some of them worked, like where it was like the pan, or not even the pan shot, where it was like just a still shot of them, like when they were trying to look for Mike, and then you see, like you just see them like searching, and then you see them like run off to a certain area.
Oh yeah,
like that shot I think maybe was a little too far away.
That's fair.
That is because fair. It was just like, okay, what are they doing?
And then how did, like, you? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, if I didn't have the subtitles on, I would have been screwed. I've been like, huh?
What? How did you feel about the beginning being in black and white?
Felt out of tone.
I feel the same way. Like, I would have caught on that this is the Von Erich brothers at a young age, and this is the dad in his prime. You didn't need to have it in black and white showing, oh yeah, no, this is just showcasing that it takes place before we're introduced to them in the present day, or in their present day.
I just chalk that up to an A24 decision.
Fair. That's fair.
Like, I think they try to be, I think my issue with A24 is they try to be a little bit more artistic than they need to be. Their stories are, I think they need to work on story structure and not be so freaking artsy fartsy.
Yeah, that's fair.
So if they can nail that down, like, I'm all on A24 train. But yeah, that scene doesn't bother me too much because it's still really good.
Yeah, no, it's still a great scene.
I think I'm going to be a couple points lower than my character development, so I'm going to be at like a 90 for the effects. 80, like I was toying with the idea of doing like 89, but it just felt a little low.
Yeah. No, I think I'm going to match you.
All right, next up we got music.
I mean, I feel nothing really stands out. Like, I mean, thank goodness they didn't, you know, have any like pop songs or anything in this, because this would have taken you out of the movie. But I feel when the score needs to go hard, it goes hard. It does well at the emotional moments. So like, it's nothing special, but for the moments that it needs to stand out when it comes to a music score, I feel it does a good job.
Yeah, I think the only song that really stood out for me, and I know the name of this freaking song in the, but I can't spew it out. the song that Mike was listening to while Carrie was training, and then that's the one that the three brothers came out to.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, that's the only song that I felt was like utilized really well to hype up a scene. Everything else, like, there was some more memorable tracks throughout this, but I don't think that those were used to their fullest potential. I will say I'm giving this movie a lot of credit for their use of silences.
Yes. Definitely agree with that.
Yeah, so I think soundtrack alone, I think I would be at a 6. But I think with how well the silences were used, I think that warrants a point bump. So I'm going to give that a 7.
Feel the same way.
All right. Next up, we got costumes.
These were good. I mean, it definitely didn't shock me, the type of stuff that they wore in the wrestling ring. I mean, it wasn't like anything like, because I've seen some WWE wrestlers wear some very extravagant outfits. And so, like, yeah, you know, like they definitely wore some stuff to, you know, like bring attention to themselves. Definitely Zac Efron's yellow or orange freaking trunks. But I feel none of it felt out of place. It made sense. And no, I feel it was good. It made sense for wrestling. So honestly, I don't think I really had any problems with the costumes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the outfits, nothing too crazy, but I think that was before WWE or just wrestling in general got like, there was more of a show behind it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just like the wrestling. I'm trying to like think of any like outfits, like the outfits that they wore or just the brothers wore were pretty basic, I'd say. I'm not familiar with Ric Flair, but I do feel like maybe he could have been a little bit more extravagant. But I also, like I said, not super familiar with the character. So, like, do you know him?
I do. And I have seen him more extravagant than this growing up. But I still feel that it was on his level.
It was on his level. Okay.
Yeah.
This one's tough. This one's like super tough. What are you like? This is somewhere. I think I could be at like a 7.5, but we don't do halves.
I don't know. Just personally, I'm at an 8 because growing up, just remembering the costumes for WWE, even though this, you know, was before WWF, because that's where it started, really took off. And so, you know, they weren't as extravagant as they are when I was a kid or even today. But, you know, looking how Ric Flair's costume looked and just how some of the just how the Von Erichs looked, I feel that they did a really good job showcasing what wrestlers wear to these events. So I'm at an 8.
Yeah, if we didn't round down, I would probably give this a 7, but I do think that it deserves a little bit higher. So like I said, I'd be at a 7.5, which would end up rounding up to an 8. Like given your score, so I'll also give it an 8, so it doesn't get bumped down.
Okay, cool.
All right, last up we got personal score.
Sorry.
You want this first or?
Okay, you might want to go first because I'm about to have a cough attack. Give me a minute.
Okay. All right, I am not well versed in the wrestling world. And I don't think that that detracted from my enjoyment of this film too much. There was definitely a lot of, filling in the gaps for what the wrestling world looks like for me. That made me just kind of be like, what? But that's more of a judgment on the wrestling world than this film. I think Zac Efron and everyone else in this cast were able to capture the essence of brotherhood very well and the relationship that brothers have. And I really appreciated that. They did a lot well. There were a lot of odd choices with this film in terms of like the editing and just different shots that they had, but they nailed the action sequences or just the stunt work that went behind this. Like major props to the stunt people on this film. Like they did fantastic. And then I would also say a slap on the wrist to whoever made us whoever's decision it was to show all of these guys in tighty whities way too much. But yeah, I enjoy this movie. Definitely one that I would rewatch again. I'd probably have to watch it with someone though. I don't know if I could watch this again by myself. Like this would be one that if someone had claimed like, oh, I've never seen Iron Claw, I'd be like, oh, well, you want to sit down and watch it? Like it'd be that scenario. I don't know if I would come back and re-explore it, but I did thoroughly enjoy the film. It just, it almost gives one and done vibes, but I would like to see someone else experience this. So I am going to be giving this one an 84.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, really everything that Caleb said. This might be my favorite A24 film. Honestly, it actually probably is. Just because the acting is incredible. This story between these brothers is just, you love seeing them succeed, but then just all of the gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching, everything that they go through is just, it's hard to watch, but you can't take your eyes off of it. And there were moments throughout that I was wiping away tears, because it's just told so well, and it's hard to watch in some instances. But just everything is done so well, from the acting to the storytelling to the cinematography. I had a really, really good time with this one. I definitely agree with Caleb. It's kind of hard to go back and rewatch this movie. I might have a hard time, but I definitely agree. If someone says, oh yeah, I haven't seen The Iron Claw. Yeah, definitely. Let's watch it together. Come on. So personally, I think I'm going to be at an, sorry.
Man, you usually don't struggle with these.
Yeah. And I've been thinking about this. I think I'm going to give an 88.
Okay. Pretty decent score. All right. So going through these categories, if it will update. Oh, did it update?
Hopefully.
Oh, guess it did. Usually the indicator, like on this, the algorithm, is that it will show half points, but I think everything rounded out to whole points.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that hasn't happened.
Yeah, very often. Interesting. All right.
Going through these scores real quick, starting off with story, we ended up averaging out to an 86. Then writing ended up getting 1 point higher, sitting at an 87. The acting is sitting at a very solid 91, which is tied with for the highest category with character development, that is also sitting at a 91. The stunt work freaking dominated with this film, so it is sitting at a 90. Music is sitting at a 7 out of 10. The costumes are sitting at an 8 out of 10. And our personal score ended up averaging out to an 86. So with that, the final All Bros letter grade for The Iron Claw has come out to a B+.
Yes, let's go.
Hell yeah. Very, very good ranking with that one. So let's see where it is sitting. Oh, it's sturdier. Like, our cutoff for an A- is 90%. This is sitting at an 87%.
Okay, not bad.
Like just flat out 87.
Wow. Okay, damn.
Yeah, so that puts it on the exact same level as Nobody.
Okay, I'm trying to remember what Nobody was.
The Bob Odenkirk movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I could totally agree with that.
I can get behind that.
All right. Let's see. Let's see what it's below first. It is sitting below Halloween 1978.
Wow.
Yeah. Dude, barely, too. It is 0.06% higher. Not even 0.1%.
Wow, damn.
Yes, it is also below Psycho.
Okay.
It is below The Willoughbys.
Ah, oh, damn it.
Dude, The Willoughbys is the shit. You can go to hell. It is also below Elemental.
All right. I'm okay with that.
It is below Detective Pikachu.
We were a little too high with that one.
You can go to hell. And it is below Freaky.
Yeah, feel the same way. That one's still a little too high.
Boo. You had your chance to change the scores.
Yeah, I know. Shut up.
All right, going the opposite direction. It is sitting above Nightmare Alley.
All right, fair.
That might be one that I kind of disagree with, because I like Nightmare Alley a bit more.
Go to hell.
All right, it is above Frozen 2.
Okay.
Yeah, it is above Scream 2022.
I can agree with that.
It is above the Lego Movie 2.
Definitely agree with that.
And it is above Black Adam.
Don't definitely agree with that. Miles better than Black Adam.
Yeah. But I think overall it has a pretty decent home. I like that there's like you disagreed with what is below more than what it's above. Oh, love when that happens.
Oh shit. All right, well, you got anything else you want to say about the Iron Claw?
Nope.
Okay. Well, if you guys enjoyed this episode and want to hear more from us, be sure to subscribe and listen to us wherever you listen to podcasts. We are damn near everywhere. Spotify, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, iTunes Podcast. All that shit. Literally everywhere. If you want to follow our social media, we're at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, all at The All Bros. If you want to email us, we are theallbroschannel@gmail.com. If you want to check out our website, tinyurl.com/theallbros. Is it The All Bros or All Bros Channel?
For our email?
For our website.
Oh, it's just The All Bros.
Okay, it's just The All Bros? Okay.
Yeah, you made me second guess myself.
So, tinyurl.com/TheAllBros. That's what it is. And then if you want to check out our merch store, you can find it at tpublic.com/user/TheAllBrosChannel. That one has channel, right?
Yep.
Okay, all right, just make sure. next week, we will be breaking down the Emma Stone movie, Poor Things. So let's see if she deserved that Oscar. I'm sure she did. Emma Stone's amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that one. I'll reach out to DJ, see if he wants to talk about it, because he seemed like he was on the fence about it.
That'd be awesome if he could join us. We still got to see if he wants to are we wanting to actually reach out and see if he wants to do freaking Rebel Moon Part 2?
Ooh, good question.
Because I think that premieres this week or next week on Netflix.
Ooh, I'll ask him.
Okay, all right, sounds good.
I'll ask him, hey, do you want to do Rebel Moon Part 2 or do you want to do Poor Things?
Choice is yours. Oh, shit. But anyway, until then, this has been the All Bros Podcast. I'm Jonathan.
And I'm Caleb.
And we'll catch you guys next week. So long. I can't do that, dude. All right.
You suck.
You do your shut up. Kiss my ass. You do your deuces and just get this shit over with.
Way to show your enthusiasm for the show.
I'm sorry.
All right. Deuces.